Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen until 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up in just a couple of hours. I do care about that. What that woman said. I just don't think that Kareem Hunt can hit her. We'll get to that coming up at 1 a.m. Eastern. Right now, Kevin Carter joins us to talk about college football, to talk about whether or not the committee got things right. A lot of things happened on Sunday afternoon, a lot of comments, a lot of questions, and a lot of calls for things to be expanded to 6 or 8 teams for the college football playoff. Former Florida Gator, 14-year NFL vet, Super Bowl champion, current analyst on CBS Sports Network. No better guy to figure it out than Kevin Carter. He joins us on the show right now. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so did the college football committee get things right with these four teams?
To me, yes. I sent out a tweet. You know, funny enough, we were doing our late show on Inside College Football, and Randy Cross and Houston Nutt and I all disagreed on what the top four should be. I literally read my text on the air, and I said, Oklahoma should be in. And I gave a bunch of reasons why, and I ended it with period. Those reasons were this. They're a one-loss conference champ. And basically, if Georgia loses to Alabama, which did happen, they're just a two-loss non-conference champion, basically. And out of Ohio State and Oklahoma, you have to compare their loss. Ohio State lost to unranked Purdue badly by 30 points. Ohio State, not up to par. Oklahoma, their loss, number 9 Texas, and they avenged that loss in the Big 12 championship game. End of story. They got it right. I'm completely satisfied with it. Good with me.
Kevin Carter joining us on the show. So when you go, was there an argument on the panel between you guys about getting Georgia still into the college football playoff even after their loss to Alabama yesterday?
Well, we were kind of divided on that just because I think Houston Nutt, he had a great, you know, an argument. He said, you know, no one's going to say that Georgia isn't one of the four best teams in the country, but, you know, there are qualifying reasons and things that the College Football Playoff Committee lists, and it's on their website. And conference champions carry weight, you know. Games, championships won, I think that's the wording, on the website. And it's going to matter if you won your conference. Eventually, if you're the reason you're moving into this, you know, playoff system anyway, is you want to settle it on the field. Well, you have to basically, the regular season is the qualifying round, basically, to see if you can play for that championship. And to me, Georgia may be one of the best teams because we've never seen anyone play Alabama like that this year. But they don't deserve the chance to play for it. Oklahoma does.
Kevin Carter joining us on the show. Former Florida Gator, NFL vet. You see him on CBS Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter at KevinCarter_93. Does Notre Dame, do you have a bit of a gripe with Notre Dame not playing in a conference, not playing a conference championship, but getting in?
No. You know what? The thing I like about Notre Dame is they're a pretty eclectic their schedule is eclectic. I mean, their 13-0 record spans 6 conferences. I mean, that's the thing, or 12-0 record. The thing is, we give them respect. It's kind of an unwritten rule, and I don't know if the football gods, you know, smile upon Notre Dame for that reason, or maybe they're just, they have the luck of the Irish. But, you know, I, for one, to me, I respect them going on the road, playing all these different teams. We don't know how these teams are going to be. And we know that, you know, playing Notre Dame is a different thing. It's a different treat. They're an unfamiliar opponent. So many different styles and defenses and offenses and different styles of football they face throughout the year. You run the gambit of that schedule, I think, you know, most people in football give them respect. And, you know, I think I'd like to see them play a conference championship game, but that would mean that they'd have to be in a conference, and or maybe we can set it up as to where they play another conference championship or another, you know, I don't know. But I don't have a gripe right now just because I respect what they did. They changed quarterbacks to, you know, partway through the year. Ian Book has taken this team to a whole new level. No, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, you heard the SEC commissioner come out and talk about how Georgia deserves to be in. Obviously, Kirby Smart's going to back up his guys. Nick Saban talked about it. We didn't hear much of Jim Delaney. Should Jim Delaney do a little bit more politicking, or should the Big Ten do more politicking? Because this is 2 years in a row now.
Well, I think you have to have a leg to stand on. And, you know, the argument, if you want to compare apples to apples, then that's just it. You have the nation's number one offense, and you have a better loss. It doesn't really get too much more direct than that. I think that, you know, the committee respects that, and I think that, you know, if the Big Ten wants to – look, Ohio State's been in before – this is nothing new, but you have to be one of the four best teams. You have to win your games impressively. You know, you can't lose. You can't stumble along the way. You know, I mean, when Ohio State got in a couple of years ago, they lost early in the season, but they lost early in the season enough to build up, you know, their stock in the eyes of the committee. So It's all about when you lose. They lost in October. That's a little late, you know, late October to be losing a game to an unranked team by 30. So, you know, it happens like it happens.
Yeah. Kevin Carter joining us on the show. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. Who's the weakest of those four teams?
To me, Oklahoma, because of their 111th ranked defense. Now, their defense did show up better in the Big 12 championship versus Texas, and they created some turnovers. They were aggressive, but we got to see how that style of football is going to translate to, you know, playing someone who can match up with you physically and that plays a different style of ball on that side of the football. I think Oklahoma is definitely the weakest link.
Kevin Carter joining us on the show. That's surprising. A lot of people want to say Notre Dame, and you say that because of the defense. I like what you say there. Kevin Carter joining us on the show. Do you want six or eight teams, or are you good with four?
I'm good with four. I don't think this is the year to really throw an argument up for eight teams. I think if you were to have eight teams in right now, basically you would be taking, you know, the Power Five conference champions, and you're talking about teams that are maybe 2 and 3 loss, and you know you're talking about just expanding way too much. I don't think that this year. I mean, you would have teams like Michigan. You have teams like, you know, like the second and third teams in tiers just because of their ranking. Would be in. I'm not in favor of it just yet. I think that every year of the college football playoff since its inception, they've gotten it right, and it makes sense. And you can argue, but, you know, it is what it is. And I think we've enjoyed the matchups and seeing, you know, those teams play for a national championship.
Kevin, you got a lot of guys on a lot of these teams that got close. They didn't get into the postseason. They weren't one of the four. They're still playing in bigger bowl games here. How many guys do you think we're going to see go, thanks, but no thanks, I'm going to get ready for the draft?
I think this is a growing trend. You know, you have guys, more and more guys that have 1 foot out the door. They don't want to risk injury in a to them, meaningless bowl game, well, meaningless to their own future. And so it is somewhat, you know, it's a growing trend among young, you know, young players these days. And it was different when, you know, 30 years ago when a lot of us were playing in college when I played. But there will be some players that will visibly, you know, some have already done that. I mean, we've seen Nick Bosa, you know, decide that after his injury, he's just going to go ahead and get ready for the draft. You know, we saw, you know, different people throughout the year, you know, kind of take the decision to bow out, and that's their prerogative.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Kevin, I think of Ed Oliver in this situation because he came back. Whoa, you groan. Well, let me ask you this. What was your feelings with Ed Oliver there, buddy?
No. I can totally see that. I mean, but, you know, you have to remember, you know, these are 22 year old kids. And they're young men, and they're being pulled in a lot of different directions. That's the reality of it. The reality of it is they love football, but there's also a larger picture looming, you know, on the horizon for a very select few. And to have that chance and to already be considered one of the college's best and be assured, you know, draft status and, you know, instant you know, access into the NFL is a very alluring thing. I can understand that. We've sensationalized it in such a way as to where we've earmarked a lot of these guys a lot earlier. And, you know, they're taking advantage of, you know, what is the reality of the monetary reality of the NFL.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to argue with that. It really is.
See, I just disagreed with the I didn't know. Oh, how do I put him in this situation? Because I was so torn here, Kevin, because he says before the season, and everybody in God knew that he was going to go to the NFL after this year. And he goes, you know, I'm going to go back. I'm going to play football this year because you want to get more experience. But you knew at some point he might get banged up. People get in your ear. You start to get nervous. Then we have the situation with what happened with him and his head coach where, you know, they had lost two games before that. It just looks like an ugly situation. And it's exactly what you said. Ed Oliver's a young guy, and he's got to protect his asset. As much as he might like Houston, and he might like Houston football, and he might like that situation, he has to protect the asset of what he has because it could mean a huge amount of money. But you've been in locker rooms. You've seen guys freak out. You've seen guys point fingers during bad losses or losing streaks. I just had a feeling it might not go that well, and it ended up blowing up just a few weeks ago. I think that maybe people use Ed Oliver and his situation, sadly, as a cautionary tale in the future.
Definitely cautionary, just in terms of what your focus is. I think there are some players, you know, year in and year out, that are a prime example of, you know, what not, or of what to do, or, you know, in this situation, there are so many players right now who are excelling on the field, who are people that we're going to say, oh man, Josh Allen, you know, this kid is playing out of his mind, you know, and he finished the season strong. You have guys like that. You have guys like Jalen Ferguson, you know, that's just balling out. And so there are a lot of hungry young players out there, but unfortunately, you know, timing and getting hurt and, you know, the situation you're in, and it's hard for me to identify that personally, just because when I played, it was a different era of football. Mm-hmm. It was a different mindset. I loved what I was doing, and it wasn't even until the end of my junior year that I thought that I could possibly even go to the NFL, you know, you had to earn so much more of it. And you had to keep your head down and work so hard. And then even when you got there, it was just different. I think, like I said, you know, just the monetary reality of the world of football and how media has, you know, really come into everything, and entertainment, it's just a lucrative, everything has grown exponentially. And I think, you know, that itself has, you know, kind of bucked that trend, so to speak, with younger players. And, you know, like I said, it's hard to argue with them when you look at the reality of the world we live in.
Yeah, Kevin Carter with us on the show. Who's your Heisman Trophy winner?
Man, that's a tough one. Kyler Murray has been about as impressive as anyone in the country. Just taking Lincoln Riley's offense to a whole new level. To me, Dwayne Haskins has been incredible. You know, we saw him in the face of adversity. We saw him when the defense, you know, was porous against Purdue and gave up a bunch of yards in subsequent games. he was the one that kept them in these games. You know, the game against Maryland, where they gave up 298 yards to Anthony McFarland on the ground, and Dwayne Haskins was the hero of that game. So, to me, he's got to be in New York. Gardner Minshew is another one. The mustache of Washington State, you know, he's been slinging it this year. I can go on and on. There are so many great players. Jordan Love, Utah State quarterback. I've got to give one of the smaller schools some love. There's a whole lot. Obviously, everybody's pointing towards Tua Tagovailoa. And, you know, definitely what he put down this year brought Alabama to a whole new level. So I don't know. I have to really wind down that list. I know it's about that time. So I'm going to take this week before I go to the Army-Navy game this Friday, and I'm going to tweet out my Heisman finalists. So,
oh, that's wonderful. Kevin Carter joining us on the show. I still want to say Kyler Murray, but I just think it's going to be Tua Tagovailoa. I think a lot of people are just going to settle on that. Real quick, you're a national champion.
My national champion is Alabama. It's hard to bet against what they've been able to accomplish, and just the arsenal of players that they have. Now that Jalen Hurts came into the game the way he did, and I'm so happy for him personally, just as a young man, you know, what character and resolve, deciding that this is the best situation for him to get better in, and being an unselfish player. But I mean, you know, just being there to help his team, just amazing. But that kind of resolve with that kind of talent is going to be really, really hard to beat. Great games, but yeah, my national champion. Since you cut to the chase, you didn't even go to the semifinals. you said who's your national champion? So yeah, there you go, it's Bama.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Follow this guy on Twitter at @KevinCarter_93. You can watch him on CBS Sports Network. He'll be at Army Navy coming up this next weekend. Kevin, thank you for the time, my friend. All the very best to you and yours.
Hey, thank you. Happy holidays to you, sir.
Same to you, Kevin. Kevin Carter joining us on the show. Coming up in a bit, Bill Bender will join us, national college football writer, sporting news. Up next, it's 3 Up, 3 Down. You got Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, 552124 CBS. Bill Bender going to join us here momentarily. We were going to do 3 Up, 3 Down. I want to get to the phones. I've had a couple of people waiting. College football playoffs also. Aaron Rodgers, what's going on there? I want to get to Cam in Canada. He's been on hold for a long time. Cam, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio.
Ken, how are you?
Cam, doing well, brother. Go ahead.
Good. So just a couple questions. So did I hear you say that we're going to start to shape in Cleveland? We're going to be reluctant to hire a certain coach because Baker might be headstrong and resistant? Isn't that just terrifying?
No. I think that you have to find – I don't know if it's a fear of finding the right guy. I think that you have to see what mold is going to work. And I think for Mike McCarthy, you just dealt with a headstrong quarterback. I feel that the better fit would be Mike McCarthy and Sam Darnold. That bothers you, Cam.
No. You're looking at it from that perspective of what's best for McCarthy. That's fine. I was just going to make a point about Baker.
Okay.
And here's what I was going to say. Same thing with Rodgers. Like, there's a reason why Rodgers dropped to 20. Did he go 24? 24, I think, or 27. There's a reason he dropped. Now, Baker is wildly talented. Baker at Lake Travis High School was 16-0 in his senior or over 2 years. He won a state championship. I mean, the three quarterbacks, like Lake Travis is a pipeline. The three quarterbacks before him went to power conference schools. Like, why do you think a guy that supremely talented with that pedigree and that program had to walk on twice?
I think because of his size. I think that he didn't have prototype. I think that they pigeonholed him, and he didn't have prototypical size because I think the game is changing now. Remember, he's 23 years old, Cam, and the game's changing. When he was in high school, it was more 6'4", drop back, rocket arm, let her ride. Now, he has a good arm. I'm not debating his arm, but we have to change the offenses around. Russell Wilson Russell Wilson, did Russell Wilson win a Super Bowl when he was first getting into college? I think he was. So that started to change things. But when he was in high school, yeah, it was still kind of the old ways.
Ken, the only thing I want to say is, and I like Baker, like I'm still 15 to 18 games away. I really hope we're not creating a pet cow and a prize poodle mentality with this kid. Because right now, everything looks like that's what's happening. It looks like everything is, like, this kid's universe is massive right now. I mean, there's things revolving around him. I'm just really hopeful that we're not creating a prize poodle here.
As far as what he can't do anything wrong to you, or what are we saying?
Just that we're not catering too much. Like, you see what happened in Tennessee with Mariota. Like, he's on his second GM. He's on his, what, third, second coach, second GM, or third coach, second GM. Like,
yeah.
At some point in time, don't these guys just have to get handed a ball and turn the score clock on and just play and do what you do? Like, if you're taking number one overall in the draft, shouldn't you be a guy that we, like, zero maintenance?
No, I think that, and I worry about, and Cam, I got to run. I thank you for the call, my friend. I think that's a great point. I don't know if it's ever going to be anything such as zero maintenance. There is such a thing as plug and play, and Baker probably could have played from game one. There is such a thing as that. I think, though, that you have to get the right guy to cultivate him. Because we're seeing that. Now, I've always said, you get the right quarterback, you have no excuse. You have the right quarterback, you have no excuse. Well, you see what's going on in Green Bay. You have to find the right fit. You do have to find the right fit for guys. There are guys who are good, solid NFL quarterbacks. They do not have the right fit. Good God, look at Jared Goff. Jared Goff is number one. Jeff Fisher wasn't the right fit. And I know Sean McVay's looked at as an analytical super coach here. People didn't think that Sean McVay, or I should say Sean McVay's an analytical super coach. People didn't think Sean McVay was that guy when he first got picked up by the LA Rams. They learned it afterwards because now he's one of the biggest stories in the NFL. But they didn't know that going in. There were serious questions about that. God, 30 years old. Well, his family, yeah, he comes from a great family and the whole thing. But people didn't know that. Now you see what he is, and you're going, good God, you're shooting fish in a barrel. And that will lead a couple of teams to make some mistakes. I think for Baker, though, you need to have a guy who, one, he respects from the very get-go. That's why some of the stuff that people are saying about Cliff Kingsbury is laughable. And the other thing for it is you need a guy who's going to be able to take him that he trusts and be able to mold him and take him to the next step. Because I think that he's had a couple of those rough patch games, and he's been able to bounce back. So it's not where he's taken the league by storm, and now defenses are figuring out, and now he can't get over the hump. I think that some defenses already started to figure it out, and he had to deal with that today with Romeo Crennel, where they dropped the linebackers. So now is on to that next step, and you have to find the right coach to do it. It's a very important hire for the Browns. Just like when the Jets do it with Sam Darnold, I think it might be a little bit easier. That's why I think that it's a much better fit with Mike McCarthy in New York with the Jets and Sam Darnold than I would think he would be with the Browns and Baker Mayfield. 855-212-4CBS. We'll try to get to some more calls. Coming up next, though, Bill Bender, National College Football Writer, Sporting News. We'll see what he thinks about the college football playoffs. Did the committee get it right? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen until 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Our next guest, one of the very best when it comes to breaking down college football. We've had him on periodically throughout the season, and now we are down to four who play for all the Tostitos. So no better guest to have on than Bill Bender. Sporting News, follow him on Twitter, at BillBender92, National College Football Writer. Bill, did the committee get it right?
I don't know. I think from 4-7, you could have had a debate on, you know, Georgia. I don't think Georgia had a case. I'll come
Thank
out
you.
And say that.
Thank
they,
you.
They lost. Their case ended on that fake punt. I mean, that was an awful call. And so they were out. So to me, I mean, if you want to debate, if you want to pull Notre Dame into the debate with Oklahoma and Ohio State, that's fine. I think Notre Dame's fine and undefeated. And the way I kind of couched it, I think Ohio State is the better team out of Oklahoma, but they didn't show they were the better team enough during the season.
I thought that the committee had to make sure that Notre Dame stayed where they were because I think that Notre Dame can give Clemson a game and keep it close. I can't say an upset. I tell you what, I don't know if it is an upset, Bill, because let me go back to this game real quick and then I'll expound. I haven't seen Notre Dame just clean the clocks of basically anybody, a couple of teams, but they were mid-major whatevers. But on the same token, hey, with the exception of Clemson, you and I know both know that the ACC is a dead rotting corpse underneath them. And so I can't necessarily say that Clemson's just going to run away and boat race them. I think it's going to end up being a pretty good game between those two teams.
I do too. Well, it's basically, here's the problem, and I wrote about this today. If I'm the Big Ten, just strictly from their point of view, if I'm Jim Delaney, and boy, I wish I was, the first thing I'd do is get rid of divisions because the Big 12 beat you at your game there by having a rematch that looked at least good. I mean, imagine a high state Michigan back-to-back weeks, Ken. That's part one.
Oh, my. Now, come on. You're getting crazy there now. You're gonna, what, aren't you going to water down the game?
Well, no, that's whatever. That's fine. I mean, what water down the game, Ken? How many in a row has Ohio State won? 7? 13 well, out of 15?
Well, then what? So, I mean, what the hell? Then almost, well, it went. Well, you're
what's
going.
One more? And then part two, Ken.
All right, go ahead.
I've got your attention now.
Yes,
part
you
two
do.
Would be I would either demand that all five conferences play 9 conference games, or I'm not doing it because I'm the only 14-team league doing 9 games. So, you know, the SEC and the ACC have some ways to game the system with that FCS weekend with 8 conference games. My conference champion hasn't made it for 3 straight years. And when I'm done doing that, I'm going to go call out Notre Dame. And I say, okay, you got in the playoff, that's fine. Now go join a conference and do what the rest of us do, and especially if Clemson smacks them around.
Well, okay, let me go back to the Big Ten thing. I don't think that you could get me to do it because they both went in with one loss into the Ohio State-Michigan game. Ohio State beats Michigan. That gives the Big Ten. Now, in a perfect world, Michigan would have just won that game and made it, but then it ended up being hellish on the Big Ten. Okay? Follow me here. Mm-hmm. So if they go back and they play in Indianapolis now in a neutral site and Michigan gets Ohio State, then you have 2 2-loss teams. You can give me some argument for Michigan, but then I think that just about damn near guarantees Oklahoma were to get in. At least there were a couple of graphs and charts and pie charts and so on that said that Ohio State should get in over Oklahoma, even though I didn't believe it personally. I don't think you did. I'm not sure if you did.
Right.
But still, there was at least something that went in their direction.
Well, here's the thing, though. I saw that one predictor this morning. I can't remember which site it was. It said Ohio State was like 76% to get in.
71.
Yeah, what calculator did they use?
I don't know.
But it was not a good one. I think with Ohio State, they didn't get it. There were people, and I was at the game Saturday night, and you're following a game on Twitter. I don't know if you were one of these people. There were people on Twitter basically saying, well, if Ohio State's up 35-0 at halftime, they're going to jump Oklahoma. And I'm thinking the whole time, no, they're not. They're playing a 4-loss team that they're clearly better than. And their trump card, Ohio State's trump card, they didn't politic. They politicked the conference championship. They should have been politicking Dwayne Haskins the whole time. Say, look at our quarterback. He can beat anybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a damn good point. Bill Bender joining us on the show, Sporting News National College Football Writer at Bill Bender 92. Okay, I thought that the committee, though, would have to keep Notre Dame where they're at because of that. Because I tell you what, if Notre Dame were to drop the 4 and Oklahoma were to get the 3, and it were to be Oklahoma and Clemson and Alabama and Notre Dame, I automatically, because people are questioning, at least in the Midwest, Notre Dame's credentials. I think they, hey, you're 12-0, you have to be perfect if you're Notre Dame, and they were. So there's a lot of traps you can fall into. We know they had to be perfect, and they were. So I'll give them that. But man, if they were to go in, they could give Clemson a game, and things will be fine. But if they were to go in at game one and just get absolutely smoked by Alabama, I think that makes the committee look bad.
Absolutely, you're onto something there too. Because my buddies and I were discussing that this morning. I was saying because that was the only bit of drama I thought that might happen. I was like, well, maybe they'll slide Notre Dame down to 4 and make them earn it. And it's kind of the same thing I was telling you about why Delaney should call him out and say, you know, because Notre Dame essentially took the Big Ten spot, mm-hmm. and they earned it. I mean, they beat Michigan. Like you said, Notre Dame operates on a you got to win them all because 11-1 Notre Dame's not getting in. And I understand that. But at the same time, you know, they're basically, to me, in this playoff, kind of like the Big Ten team in. You know, they have that Big Ten blueprint. They're like a better version of Michigan. Kind of a combination of Michigan and Ohio State, actually. And I think they can hang with Clemson. I don't know if they can beat them because that Clemson quarterback's gotten just better, and they've got every piece. But You know, they played them tight a few years ago down in Death Valley. There's no reason why they can't do it again.
Bill Bender joining us on the show. So, Georgia, I agree with you. I didn't think that argument held water. You had two chances to make it a three-possession game or a three-touchdown game. You weren't able to do it. Kirby Smart completely freaked out. There were many ways you could call that thing off. I saw Anthony Beck going after it with people last night. I had Dave Zastadil, who's a local guy here, former special teamer, punter, long time in the NFL, said that it was a complete miscue by that. You have codes. You're supposed to read the codes. You didn't read the codes. And then I'm getting this argument about how Georgia should be not even just in the playoff, but should be like third. I go, listen, it has to count for something. I just can't willy-nilly say it and all of a sudden will you back into the thing. The late season games, conference championships, things of that nature, Bill, they got to count for something here. We can't just be selective and say, well, this is what it is and that's what it is. You had your shot, you blew it.
Well, there's a couple reasons why we get along. One, you talked to Dave Zastadil, who was probably the best player down at Ohio University when I was down there, and just such a good guy.
Yes, he is.
I know he's a celebrity up there, too. He's awesome. He was a great punter. Two, your point about there was a lot of people saying, well, that Alabama doesn't want to play us. Well, they did play you, and they beat you. And the block punt, that didn't really get – what got lost is how bad of a call that was in the Jalen Hurts feel-good story, which was good for him, by the way. So,
yeah.
Georgia, you had your swing, and we don't need to see it again. And they better learn from it, because they'll probably play Alabama again in Atlanta next year. So, but we get to see Alabama. I am fascinated by the Tua-Kyler dynamic with those two going against each other. I don't know if Kyler's going to steal his Heisman this week. I don't know. What do you think? Who's going to win the Heisman?
I tell you what, I think Kyler Murray has as good an opportunity as anything. I think that what he's shown in tight moments, getting the job done compared to Tua Tagovailoa just yesterday, and I know he was injured, and I think that a lot of the voters are going to leave it to where it is, but I think Kyler Murray gave him a run. I think that it could be a lot closer than we think. I would pick Kyler Murray. But I think that a lot of those voters, I don't get a vote. I think a lot of those voters are still going to stick with Tua Tagovailoa. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I got a vote in the morning, and I'm going to sleep on it because, I mean, Dwayne has.
Oh, no, now I'm going to. Now I have to lean on you. I have to lobby you. I mean, who runs a better offense than Oklahoma right now? That's why when people gave me the argument, I said, hey, well, I think Oklahoma can score with Alabama. I think they can score with Clemson. They can certainly score with Notre Dame. They can do it with Georgia. I think they can score. Their defense, okay, I'll give you that. But their offense, they can score, boy. They can put points up on the board.
Well, part of the reason they got picked over Ohio State, and Dwayne Haskins is awesome. Again, and incredible. He'll be definitely in my ballot, I'm sure. Oklahoma can run the ball. Ohio State struggled running the ball this year, and it was very strange because they got two good running backs, and it was a hit-or-miss run game. Oklahoma can run for 200 a game, and they do it. Thing with Tagovailoa, and I've been telling people this, his Heisman moment, and it's kind of fitting, he missed the fourth quarter yesterday, was not playing in the fourth quarter. That's all we talked about all year. Not throwing picks, not playing in the fourth quarter. He did struggle yesterday. He did get injured. There's a lot of cameras on Tua's knee and Tua's ankle and those kind of things. So it's close. I'm going to sleep on it, but this is a very tough call for me because it's the first time I'm going to vote for the Heisman, and you know, you don't want to start off with an L, essentially.
Bill Bender joining us on the show. Oh, if you were Dwayne Haskins, would you play in the Rose Bowl? He says he is.
That's a tough one because this is the season for that. Like guys like Ed Oliver and Rashawn Gary, I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I think it could help. I really do.
Haskins, it might help if he goes out and lights up a pretty good Washington
exactly.
defense.
Exactly. I think if he loses, say they lose that game, because I'm worried about what type of Ohio State team would come out for that one. And I know I got to make this quick. I know you got to run. But if he goes out and he lights it up, I think that helps. It's one more game against real live bullets. It's a big game. Ohio State has been an up and down mental football team this year. If he carries them across the threshold, it'd be big. If they lose, I don't know. I got to tell you, they've done some things poorly this year, Bill, and I don't think it's been Dwayne Haskins' fault. I think we can make a bunch of excuses and say, oh, he went out there, he had one more game against stiff competition, and we'll see you at the draft.
he made two throws last night, one being the first touchdown to McLaurin, where he eluded two sacks, and then the other touchdown to McLaurin down the sideline, where, I mean, he's one of the few players in the country that you consistently say, wow, when he did two or three times a game on a throw he makes. And I think he has a case to be, I'd have to break it down a little bit closer. He could be the first quarterback taken next year in the draft.
Oh, I
There's
think
no
so.
Reason why. Oh, I think absolutely. So, yeah, I think if he goes to the Rose Bowl, kind of solidifies his Ohio State legend with the year he had, and then beats what Washington's got a good defense. So they're going to throw some things at him. If he torches them, they'll be in good shape.
Bill Bender joining us on the show, Sporting News, National College Football writer. All right, who wins the whole shebang here, Bill?
Oh, I think I've picked against Alabama one time. We're going to get Alabama-Clemson again. Clemson's capable of beating them because they've got a better quarterback this time, too. And Tua Trevor will be good because get used to it because I think you're going to see Tua Trevor this year, and then we're going to watch Clemson-Alabama 5 next year. And I don't know if we'll get to 6, but we might.
Oh, eh. I still like it at 4, but that's just me. What the hell? I'm staunch. Bill, I thank you so much for the time, my friend. You know I appreciate your time.
No problem, Ken. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Bender, the great Bill Bender, joining us from the Sporting News. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Just got done with that Sunday night football game. What was the score that they were up? What was the stat there, Ryan? Filippone out in Pittsburgh had just tweeted out the stat and put it out where somebody had said, "What's this? Is the first time in how long that have they never given it up?" Here we go. Scott Kazmaier. Steelers have never blown a home lead of 14-plus points in franchise history. They led 23-7 tonight. This was supposed to fix things. Roethlisberger was under fire last week for what he had said about his receivers, says he reserves the right to talk about his wide receivers after that terrible interception to end the game against Denver last week. You see Pittsburgh, they are the Seattle Seahawks without the Super Bowl. There's infighting, there's guys who want the bag, they talk trash about each other, they play the blame game, they don't have the Super Bowl. Like, Ben has the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about Ben. In that case, overall for the history, and it was ironic, they celebrated, what, the 10-year anniversary of their last Super Bowl team tonight back in 2008. But you look at Pittsburgh from the very get-go. The Le'Veon Bell stuff, I got Steelers fans in my mentions. They're tweeting through it right now. That's perfectly fine. You got the in-game stuff. You got the infighting. The stuff that goes on with the blame game, with Ben Roethlisberger, with Tomlin, with the whole deal, the fan base getting in about it. Hey, when I compare you to the very best in the AFC, are you where Pittsburgh is? Are you going to be where Pittsburgh is? Chargers just came back from 23-7 down, beat you at home. You had three shots to block that kick. You were offsides all three times. Shouldn't even have been like that. Should have been able to figure that one out. Should have been able to finish that. Oh, and now you have a lower leg contusion with James Conner that will have to be worked on over the next couple of weeks. But you'll win the AFC North. No one's saying you won't win the AFC North. You'll take care of that business. I know that the Ravens might have something to say of it. They're streaking right now, so it's not all said and done. But you'll win the AFC North. But when it comes to the teams that are taken seriously in the AFC, maybe Kansas City might fall on hard times because of seriously, what's going on with Kareem Hunt and what's going on with that offense. Maybe you can get past that. Maybe you'll run that table. But all that maybe there, I don't know. Seattle has an excuse. Seattle won a Super Bowl. Guys get personal about it. They get petty. They get greedy. It's only the natural order of things. You got guys chiping at each other. You haven't won anything. And by and large, with that collection of talent, you've been a disappointment. That coming up, plus Mike McCarthy got canned. Where's his next stop? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.